Welcome back to Forward Pressing, episode 88. It is a beautiful April 23rd, Sunday afternoon. We are recording this right after the FA Cup semifinal between Manchester United and Brighton Hove Albion. I am Kevin, one of your hosts. Yannis here with me. How you doing, bro?
Doing good. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yo, this game had me on the edge of my seat. I was really nervous because Man United and penalties don't usually go together, to be honest.
And Brighton was a better team.
Yeah, Brighton was a better team for sure. I mean, to be fair, we have a decent amount of injuries. But we have not been in the best of form. We've kind of had to like deal with a rocky starting 11 over the last few games with a lot of injuries and people being fit and not fit. But Brighton definitely had the better chances this game. We're going to talk about it. We'll also talk about some Premier League activities, Arsenal, Man City. The Bundesliga got pretty interesting this weekend, so we'll talk about that. Some Champions League, some Europa League. It'll be a good time. Should we just hop right into it? You watched the game, right?
I did watch the game.
Okay, so give me your thoughts, and then I'll give my thoughts.
Overall, I think Brighton can only really blame themselves for not getting the result. I thought, particularly in the second half, they had the most dangerous chances, the better quality chances. And for some reason, they tried to walk it in every time, where the shot might have been the better option.
Especially in the second half. Mitoma had some good chances.
Mitoma had some good ones. I think Nciso had a good one. De Gea saved as well. They had a very good second half, I'd say. Even though, obviously, he had not a great week, but we'll talk about that later. But yeah, overall, I thought Brighton really like look at themselves in terms of not getting the goal, the one, because I think just one goal would have ended the game.
So. I mean, one goal would have won the game. Yeah. I thought the refereeing was really suspect, to be honest, because I mean we like you mentioned it, like that Mitoma tackle on De Gea where he completely misses the ball, slides right into De Gea's legs. I mean that usually
could have been a red.
It's usually almost always a yellow. He didn't even get anything for that. And he was already on a yellow, so that would have been a red. It would have been a double yellow red. So I have no idea how he escaped that, to be honest. Like, I like Mitoma. I think he's a great player. I don't think there was any malice in it. I think it was just kind of like a awkward coincidence. Like, he was going for the ball and it kind of just happened. But you don't usually get a pass for that just because it wasn't intentional. So I'm really surprised that he escaped a yellow there. And that definitely would have changed the tide of the game if he ended up getting sent off. But I thought the ref was really the ref was letting a lot of things slide that were not that should have been fouls, and also he like refused to give bookings for some reason. And I think we would have definitely benefited from that if more bookings were given, because we were on the receiving end of a lot of those tackles. In my opinion,
I think he did do a couple makeup calls, just because when he missed one and then he kind of like had to redeem himself on the second call. So maybe that's
But a yellow is a big thing, because you have to change your style of play after you receive a yellow, because you have to be more careful. You can't be as aggressive anymore. And Mitoma not getting the second yellow there, I thought that was like crazy.
I mean, yeah, it's not like he also like you said, it wasn't intentional on his part. Like he's not that type of player. But just the action of it, it's kind of, to me, if he wasn't on the yellow already, he probably would have been on the yellow on that one. So maybe that kind of goes into your point of like kind of inconsistency in terms of the calls. Outside of that, I thought he had an okay game, I'd say. Probably a C plus, B minus grade, I'd say.
United had some chances.
He let a lot of things play. Like he let that one tackle where Supion is essentially grabbing Wan-Bissaka, but Wan-Bissaka somehow manages to get the cross in. He could have easily called that, but he didn't. He let the play go. So
Rashford got pulled down on what could have been him against the goalie chasing a ball, and there was no foul or yellow given for that.
And to me, it looked more like Rashford was sort of like
he kind of grabbed him a little bit first, and then he just got pulled down after. I mean,
I thought Rashford started that one.
Either way, I think both teams had chances, though. We had some good chances. Sanchez made a couple of key saves. There was a good chance from Casemiro who shot bottom corner.
That Rashford save was great.
Yeah, that too. So I think both keepers kind of kept the games alive. And in the shootout, yeah, it was kind of just like back and forth. It was in the pouring rain, right? So you kind of have to take that into account when you're taking a shot, because your foot that's planting near the ball is always kind of like can slip, right? And that's devastating. Yeah. We've seen John Terry miss big penalties like that, right? But yeah, that's why I'm always nervous for me when you go high for a shot like that, especially in the rain, because the margin of error is so small just to overshoot that ball. When you go low, you risk the keeper picking the side and getting the save, right? But we saw a couple shots. I know Dello got one right in the corner. Sanchez picked the right side, but it was too powerful and too well placed. Brighton had a shot
also,
like that as well.
Most of them went high, actually, especially for you from the United.
Yeah,
side.
In the beginning, Brighton went high, but there was, I know for sure, I forget, it was either the third or fourth Brighton taker who went low bottom left, and De Gea picked the right side, but it was still like it was like too fast and too in the corner, couldn't make the save. Dalot did the same thing where he went bottom right, and Sanchez picked the right side and almost saved it. He also got an arm on Sabitzer's penalty, which was
which was
close.
I was just gonna mention that. Yeah, that was close. I think he also got one on Rashford's. I think
no, Rashford went. Sancho had me the most scared, to be honest. I don't know why I felt like I didn't like his run up at all. It kind of looked like he was about to sky it, but he had a really well taken penalty as well. It's just the ones that are high. It's like high risk, high reward, because you know the goalie's not gonna save it, but you're risking missing it.
Does that remind you of the Euros?
Yes.
That's exactly why I was nervous. I think I texted you too. Like Sancho had me nervous at that point, because I didn't want him to miss and then have the exact same repercussion as what happened.
Rashford
final.
Too.
Yeah, Rashford too. I thought Rashford I was more confident though. I thought Rashford was going to score for sure.
Yeah.
Sancho got me a little worried, but I thought it was
the Lindelof one though.
Yeah, the Lindelof one was clutch.
I mean, that was the winner, right? But going top right corner after you just saw Sully March sky it right there, too.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that was ballsy.
Yeah, he had a good game, too. And for him to sky that, I mean, I think he's a Brighton, like, homegrown, too, so that kind
of
hurts.
He's one of their best players.
Yeah. He had a great game. Like, he had a couple of good chances. It's gonna stink for a while, but I mean, overall, I think Brighton should be happy. They've had a good season. I think they're probably gonna finish in Europe. I don't know exactly if it will be Europa League or Conference League, but the FA Cup semifinal isn't really such a bad. Like, it's not a bad accomplishment, especially for considering where you're coming from. So I think for Brighton, they should probably held their head high. Like, hopefully try to figure out how to get back here next year. Because they have
they're in a battle for like European football in the Premier League. They can very well finish fifth. It would not be surprising.
I think for them to keep their players, because there's a lot of players that are like rumored to be leaving in the summer, they have to finish in Europe for them to stay.
I mean, who do you think is going to leave? I mean, their best players, you know, you have Sully March, you have Matoma, you have McAllister. I think McAllister's probably gone. I think he's set for a big move.
Most likely one, yeah.
Because he had the big World Cup, and he's had a really good season for Brighton. Caicedo, I think, is also gone. He almost left in the summer.
Had a great game, by the way.
Yeah, he did.
You could use a Caicedo on your team.
So I think those two are for sure on the way out. Not for any bad reason, just because like they deserve a move to a bigger opportunity.
Yeah,
we'll see. They have the least games played in the Prem right now, so they're gonna have a couple of double game weeks ahead, where they can really rack up some points. And Spurs are holding on to that fifth spot, but they are by no means confident in keeping it. I mean, they just lost 6-1 to Newcastle. It was 5-0 after the 25th minute, which is ridiculous.
I think Spurs just wants to end the season at this point.
I mean, I think they just want it to be over. And does this basically guarantee Harry Kane out?
Yeah.
There's no way he stays. There's no way he stays.
I don't care who the coach is. It's not looking like it's going to be Pochettino, because he might actually be going to Chelsea, like I told you so. But
hey, nothing's confirmed yet. Nagelsmann was the favorite.
Looking likely, though.
He kind of pulled himself out, yeah. I mean, just because the options are very limited.
Oh, true. But they also, like, the best options they've talked to, and they're saying no. So, I mean, Nagelsmann said no. So, at this point, like,
because nobody wants to coach Spurs because Daniel Levy is awful.
Yeah, and nobody wants to go to Chelsea because they don't know what the project is going to look like.
Yeah. I think that's why probably Nagelsmann pulled himself out, because he kind of got more information. He probably was in advanced talks with them, and he just didn't, either wasn't comfortable with the situation or didn't agree with a lot of the decisions that they decided to make or have in mind. And he just didn't want to have to deal with that.
Imagine if he goes to Spurs instead.
I mean, I can see it now. I can see it now, definitely. It kind of feels like, you know, he's still young. One of those younger managers who hasn't really like cemented himself with a bigger opportunity. Like he was really good at Leipzig, and then he kind of quote unquote failed at Bayern. So now he needs another opportunity to kind of prove himself. And I feel like Spurs is one of those options that, you know, the expectations aren't sky high. You don't have to come in and win everything right away, but mm-hmm. it gives you the chance to kind of to kind of put your spin on things. The thing is, I feel like he's still a little bit early in his managerial career, where he can go to Spurs because he doesn't have like the big name that comes with like a Mourinho or something, where you go and you expect things to be your way. So I feel like I'm basically trying to say that Daniel Levy can manipulate him a little bit, and that's why I feel like he would take the job. That's why they'll go for him. Does that make sense?
To an extent. I don't know if, I mean, maybe like Nagelsmann is smart enough not to let himself be manipulated like that, but at the same time, he also doesn't have the experience that other managers
the Spurs, have had. That's what I'm saying. The Spurs manager is going to be somebody that Daniel Levy can like boss around, because Levy won't hire somebody that won't be able, like won't be to succumb to that. So, and Harry, I feel
Conte,
like,
though.
Yeah, and obviously it did not go well, and Conte was like shitting on him in the press, so. I wouldn't say that was a success.
Ever since that press conference, nothing has gone right for Spurs.
Yeah. So, I can see him going there. But it feels like the top four in the Prem is pretty set. It looks like it's going to be Arsenal, City, Newcastle, United. Just the order will change, either between Arsenal and City and Newcastle and United. But fifth through eighth is pretty close, too. It's going to be between Spurs, Villa, Liverpool, Brighton. I like Brighton to finish fifth. I think they can do it. Spurs are not finishing. I think Spurs are falling out of the top six. Probably Liverpool can get fifth. It'll be close.
Liverpool is in form. Villa's in form. Brighton is
okay. These are all really fun teams to watch.
Agreed, yeah.
And even Fulham is a good squad this season, who are in ninth. Brentford is a good squad this season, who are in 10th. Chelsea is in 11th. Like, and that's 11 teams that are really fun and exciting to watch in a Prem that you feel like could probably go into any game week and win that game. And then behind Chelsea, you have like Palace, who have been kind of like not too bad. West Ham, who are up and up. But then at the bottom of the table, you have Southampton, who are probably getting relegated and who probably just ended Arsenal season. Everton, Leicester, like these are teams fighting relegation right now. It's crazy.
Prem's wild. To survive, bro.
Leeds are also fighting. Leeds. Yeah, they're close.
I need Leeds to survive. I don't know why I like Leeds.
Bournemouth really turned up, eh? They were last place surprisingly, for a long time.
You know who I expected more of? Nottingham Forest.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably going to go down.
Yeah, they made like 20 signings and still going to go down. That's kind of wild. But anyways.
Unfortunately, I'm rooting for them to stay. If I had my... Like Everton getting relegated would be crazy.
I don't know if they've ever gotten relegated.
I think Southampton are going down for sure. Then if you had to pick two other teams, who do you think? It's going to be between Leeds, Leicester, Everton, Forest. And seeing Leicester and Everton get relegated is crazy.
Massive.
Because these have been kind of like staples in the Prem that are fighting for European spots.
You know, I just said I want them to stay on, but considering...
I think Leicester's going down.
You think Leicester's going down?
I think Leicester. They've been abysmal.
I think Forest is going down.
I mean, two of them have to go down. So you think who do you think staying up, Everton or Leicester?
Honestly, I think they're both gonna stay. I think Leeds is gonna go down.
You think Leeds is gonna go down? Dang.
You know, I just said I don't want them to stay up, but they're not convincing enough. I don't see them staying. Honestly, I love Aaronson. I love McKennie. Obviously, the US boys, but.
Rodrigo.
There's definitely Rodrigo, Bamford, Harrison. Is a decent striker when he wants to be. They have one of the best keepers in the league in Melier, but no, it's not enough. I don't know. It just doesn't work.
It's going to be interesting.
Every season they have to fight relegation. It's like, and Tyler Adams isn't even playing.
Yeah.
He's been like one of their best players, so without him in the midfield, it's definitely a difference, and you can tell. I wouldn't be surprised if they get relegated, honestly. The McKennie move didn't really pan out. Yeah, the McKennie move didn't really pan out as they expected. But even that, beyond that, I don't just don't think that they have enough quality to stay. I hope they prove me wrong, because I really would like them.
They prove you wrong. That means probably both, or one of at least Leicester or Everton are going down.
Probably be Leicester.
Yeah, they've been really bad. They have a lot of talent, which is honestly, that's gonna be crazy. But we gotta talk about Arsenal, because Southampton, relegation bound Southampton, just put a massive pin in Arsenal's title hopes. We said this. We said, after the last City game, we said that Arsenal have to just not choke it, and we've seen draw after draw after draw, drop points against teams that were easy wins earlier in the season. What's happening? Tell me what's happening.
Liverpool, we should have lost. It's in the game, we should have lost. West Ham, we had to win. We had the PK, we had the chances, that should have been a win. Southampton, I don't even know. I don't know what happened. I can't explain that one.
Y'all were down 2-0 early, too.
Yeah.
Then you came back and couldn't. I thought you guys were going to do it, to be honest. You guys were, dominating.
Yeah. It's great that we were able to come back and get to 3-3, but the fact that we actually went down 2-0. I get that Southampton is also playing with, the energy of despair because they have to stay in, but...
I mean, Ramsdale pulled a De Gea. De Gea from the Europa League, did the exact same thing, pretty much.
Did the exact same thing, and, I mean...
I don't know why they do that. It's do they just not feel the danger there? Just clear it. Who cares? It's way better than giving a dangerous pass to your defender, right on top of your box.
Ramsdale's situation, I think Zinchenko was asking for it, though. That might have been what...
Maguire asked for it, too, when De Gea passed him the ball. With three Maguire defenders should have
just
turned,
really. If Maguire just turns, he's free. There's nobody
behind him. He's an abomination to the position of defender. He is an abomination. I tweeted earlier, I said, the only center back that Maguire is better than on our roster is Phil Jones. And I stand by it.
I forgot Phil Jones was still on the roster.
He's on the roster. He doesn't play anymore, but he's on the roster. I think he's still injured. I remember he played, I think last season he played a couple games, one or two games at some point. He actually had some decent performances, to be honest, but Maguire is just god-awful. He has some games where he kind of convinces us that he's not the worst player in the league, but then his true form always shows up. Let's take away from your Arsenal conversation. I'm really sorry. What's happening? Is it all coming down to the City game?
Yeah, it's everything is to play for in the City game.
But the thing is, even if you beat City, you'll have to not drop points. Yeah, you'll have to not drop points though. You'll be 1 point ahead. If you beat City, I think you'll be 1 point ahead.
But realistically speaking, in the form that City is right now, it is very hard for me to see us getting a win, especially considering the three biggest mental breakdown that we had in the season just came right before this. And I don't know, bro. I want to be optimistic. I want to be confident, but that West Ham game was a gut punch to the stomach, honestly. The ego, especially. The Liverpool game, I understand. Liverpool was a better team. The fact that they came back doesn't surprise me. West Ham had to be the win. That had to be the win.
Even Southampton, two extra points right now in the table is monumental right now.
Every point matters. Every point matters.
I mean, you could lose versus...
I could lose versus who?
Hello? Hello?
Good. Are you good?
My internet cut out. I'm back.
No worries. You said we could lose. You said you could lose.
Yeah, no, but I think what I was trying to say was, even given the West Ham result, the last game against Southampton, if you win that, two extra points right now on the table, you'd be at 77 and City would be at 70 with two games in hand. So you could lose against City and still be ahead.
Now it's Wait, now it's a must win.
I mean, now it's a must win. That's the title.
There's no other option.
And Haaland, like, are you convinced you're not dropping points besides the City game?
No.
Like, you play Chelsea after, which you guys should win because Chelsea is abysmal. But I mean, we know they have quality and they can probably win a game. You play Newcastle, Brighton after. Those are difficult fixtures. Newcastle is on a roll. They just scored 6 on Spurs, and they are one of the best defenses in the league. And Brighton is one of the best attacking threats in the league.
Those are games that we cannot. Those aren't guarantees.
So you play Man City next, and then it's Chelsea, Newcastle, Brighton. Like, these are that's a gauntlet to not drop any points.
Bro, that just gave me a headache, bro. I don't know. Even when you look at City, like, bro, Haaland is averaging a hat trick a game at this point.
not really, but almost.
Not really. I'm exaggerating here, but like, he's
32 goals.
The whole team is in the best form of the season. Like, April is where they hit peak. They peak City, and this is what we have to beat to somehow get. I mean, the win, like, it's massive. It's a massive game changer. And like, honestly, if we do get the win against City, then maybe I'm more optimistic about Brighton and Newcastle. But
considering, you gotta just take it one game at a time, and you have to trust the process and do everything you can, give it your all. Because you guys, you know, you're not in the FA Cup anymore, you're not in Europa League anymore, where City is still fighting. They have an FA Cup final to prepare for. They have a Champions League semifinal to prepare for against Real Madrid. Like, they will obviously have a lot more on their plate than you guys do. The thing is, why it's so difficult to beat City is because they have two starting 11s, pretty much. And it's because they spend so much money and they buy all the best players and they have so much depth that their bench is better than half the league. And that's why it's so difficult to compete with them. And that's why they're so good over time, because all these other teams, you know, they take knocks. They go through phases where, you know, they're more tired, they're more injured, and they just have a next man up that's just as good as the guy that's starting. So that's why it's so difficult for anybody to really compete across a large season with City. But
even
somebody's got to do
Sheffield,
it.
Even them beating Sheffield yesterday, it seemed looked a little too easy.
I mean, Mahrez hat-trick, and he like doesn't even start half the games for City. So
somebody's got to beat them, bro. If anybody, why not us?
Why I not wanted us? You guys to do it. If I had to choose between Man City having a real shot at the treble and Arsenal winning the league, I'd rather you guys win the league, to be honest. I'm rooting for you guys.
I mean, yeah, I would. I would.
You guys ain't doing me any solids. I'm rooting for you guys, but I've been skeptical because I haven't been. You know, I've been skeptical.
I didn't know you've been skeptical.
So, I mean, we're gonna see how it goes, but definitely you're kind of beating yourselves right now against teams that you guys like. You have all these big matchups coming up, and you guys are dropping points to teams that were the. We were giving you guys these wins when we were looking at the schedule earlier on in the season.
I mean, April 26th, man. All to play for. I cannot wait for April 26th. All to play for that day.
What do you think Arteta does? What do you think he has to do?
Arteta?
Yeah. How do you beat City?
If I knew that question, I would be in London right now.
Yeah, probably.
I have no idea what he's gonna do because obviously he's playing against his guy, so. First time we played them at their place, we were doing good. We were playing well. I think we almost had most of the possession, but we weren't getting any goals. The second time we played them, they destroyed us. So now, I don't really know what to expect. It could really go either way in terms of
I think it's going to depend on Jesus, because we even saw it in the Southampton game. He had a lot of chances, and he couldn't finish anything. Yeah. And he's been on the score sheet since he's come back from injury. But it kind of feels like he's leaving a lot on the table, and you can't do that against City because you're gonna have to take every chance you get.
Yeah,
so I think he's gonna really be the difference maker there.
He is going to be one, and then also, if we can, how can we limit the supply to Haaland? How do we limit De Bruyne's passes, through balls to Haaland, or the wide areas to Grealish and stuff like that? Can we isolate Grealish and not getting beat by him 1v1? That's Ben White's job, and I think Ben White can do that, but. Getting the balls to Haaland and somehow like cut that supply, it's going to be a hard thing to do because it's nearly impossible because it's always going to him. So like I said, they can beat us in so many different ways that it's hard to kind of nullify everything. You just kind of have to like pick and choose your poison, essentially. Like, do you want to get beat by Haaland in your box, or do you have to get beat by like a De Bruyne long range shot or something?
The thing is, you're not going to be able to stop Haaland. Like, trying to game plan to stop Haaland is a game plan set up to fail. Can't stop Haaland.
You can't stop Haaland, but you can stop the boss to Haaland.
Well, that's the thing. That's where you have to put a lot more emphasis. Probably closing down those passing lanes or whatnot. I'm not giving you a lot of room to De Bruyne, but they have so many creative players that you can't stop everybody, right? So
yeah, like you can stop De Bruyne, and then you have Silva. You can stop Silva, but then you'll have, I don't know, Grealish. I think Foden is back too. So
yeah,
like you said earlier, that they have too many options, too many weapons to hurt us. You just gotta have to pick your poison.
It's gonna be who can score the most goals, because I know there's gonna be goals.
I mean, that's usually how it goes, Kev.
I mean, we see some low scoring affairs, but I think this is gonna be a high scoring affair. We'll see.
Who can score the most goals usually wins the game.
That's not what I said. There's gonna be goals aplenty. So it's gonna be about who can finish those chances. But right. Talking about another team that's giving up on the league, I mean, we just saw Bayern lose to Mainz, and now suddenly Dortmund is at the top of the table with like 5 games remaining. I think they can do it.
Oh, I want to believe in Dortmund, but they've disappointed me so many times in those similar positions in the past that I can't really say. Like, the next five games are relatively okay. I think the Frankfurt game was the hardest one, and they've already took care of that. But now,
did you see the tweet I sent you, the last tweet of Bayern? No. The it was like a post about Bayern. They were saying in 2022-2023, Nagelsmann 37 matches, 3 losses.
Oh right, yeah.
Tuchel 7 matches, 3 losses.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a really good first game with Tuchel, and then I feel like it's been really, really bad. Like he got battered in the Champions League, and now he's squandering the league away. Like, this might be a one and done for Tuchel. I don't know.
This kind of puts the Nagelsmann decision in question. Like, honestly, that Dortmund win, like, it wasn't his. Like, they could have won the game with an assistant coach. I don't put that on him.
Exactly. But so, and since then, it's been bad.
Yeah. I mean, against City, some individual mistakes. Like, Upamecano had, like, a horrible two games against them. Fair enough. But overall, like, City was the best team by far. Which is surprising because I expected Bayern to do better. I expected Bayern to win it. I don't know, but the league has been concerning. I don't think they're going to be this bad in the league. I feel like Bayern is the type of team that, like, you don't really beat them, they beat themselves.
Yeah.
And there's been too many, like, individual mistakes or stuff that got in the way of, like, the team chemistry and the team cohesion. Obviously, there was the Sané and Mane, like, I guess, outburst after the game, and that was a clash that made noise around, and obviously we saw that, like, Mane kind of, I guess, he hit Sané, but the team didn't really like that, and they suspended him for one game, whatever it happens. He plays a game. I don't know if you saw that, they subbed Mane for Sané in the second game. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I think Mane's gone. I think that was...
There's a chance that he leaves. I don't know where he's going to go, but there's a chance that he goes, yeah.
I think there was. I know. They said they dealt with it and they're on good terms and stuff now. But I feel like it's just. I feel like for the health of the locker room, like, I feel like he's not. He's gonna go.
At the same time, too, like, it's not like he was having like a great season, bro. He started well, but he's been kind of quiet since. I mean, he obviously he's coming back from injury, so he's been out for a while. But overall, like, not his best season. Maybe a change of scenery. I don't see him back to Liverpool. But, like, I don't know, maybe a Barca. Barca could be interesting.
I think he could go to Barca.
No, Firmino was rumored to go to Barca, too. So, that if they reunite there, I don't know if they can afford both of them, but...
I think he'll go for a reasonable price after kind of, like, the antics. And you know, he hasn't really been, like, one of the best players in Europe, right? So, he's not going to go for the same price tag that he went earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. No, he's definitely in the, I want to say, the 40 range.
I think that's fair.
Just because, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't, to go back to Dorman, like, they've been in this position before and they've disappointed. So, can they do it? Yes. Will they do it? It's a strong maybe. I think the Mönchengladbach game is probably the hardest one. If they can get through that one, then
all... Like, even Mönchengladbach isn't really top of the table, right? They're, like, mid-table. They haven't had the best season. Like, the remaining games, yes, they're not. Like, Mönchengladbach's losing against Union Berlin right now. Berlin's in third place, obviously, but...
Yeah.
Like, they're mid-table. They're playing, like, a lot of these mid-table teams. They play Wolfsburg, Frankfurt. They just played Frankfurt. Mönchengladbach, like the results... They're not playing any top five teams until the end of the season.
More reason for them to, more reason to believe in them. But we, like I said,
exactly.
They've been there before and they've never really delivered.
I think they can do it.
Always, yeah, they can do it, but will they do it? I want to be optimistic, but I'm very skeptical. Matter of fact, I'll tell you right now, I don't think they'll do it.
You don't think they'll do it?
I think they'll lose one game. The thing is also, like, does Bayern, like, I'm back.
But I mean, Bayern, they can also drop points.
They can also drop points, and they've shown that they can. Maybe that's also something to consider here. I could see Bayern winning last minute, sort of like a. I'm not gonna say like a the way City won in 2012, but like a last match day stuff like that, and like Dortmund like somehow collapses, and Bayern somehow gets another trophy.
We'll see, but I'm leaning Dortmund for now. Let's talk about the Champions League because, I mean, man, it feels like it's Man City's to lose right now, right?
Agreed.
I think Madrid is like the only team that can give them a run for their money, and I'm just kind of upset or sad or disappointed with how the bracket was ended up because we're gonna get a Milan or Inter in the final, and I feel like they just don't deserve it, to be honest. The way the bracket was set up, like that side of the bracket was so easy, that like the best team on that side of the bracket, out of the eight teams that were there, was Napoli.
Yeah.
But all the favorites, like you had Madrid, you had City, you had Bayern, you had PSG. Those were probably the four favorites, and they were all on the same side of the bracket. I just feel like the final is going to be gross.
Correct me if I'm wrong, this is the first time that they don't do the draw for the semis, right? There's usually a draw for it.
I'm not sure.
Usually there's a draw like on Friday, like after like every semis, every quarterfinals, and then like they'll draw like, okay, who plays who in the Champions League and the Europa League. So then like we can figure out the, I guess, where who plays where. But now, like, this was done, like, way early because of
It's actually insane because if you had to, with the 16 teams that were remaining for the bracket, if you had to make me choose, the top eight and the bottom eight, like, who were the best eight teams, the worst eight teams, it's basically how the bracket ended up, besides Napoli being on the bottom side. But all the rest, I would put ahead. Like, it's actually crazy. Like Milan, Spurs, Frankfurt, Napoli, Bruges, Benfica, Inter, and Porto. None of these teams you would have picked to make the semifinal.
I agree.
That's why I kind of feel like the way the tournament went this season, like we got all the big matchups early on, and the final is just going to be like a crapshoot. Like Milan or Inter could very well win it. Anything can happen in one game of football, but I just feel like they don't really deserve to be there.
It's
like Madrid City should be the final. That's the two best teams. You would think that would be
technically
the final.
Based on the bracket. You knew that was never going to happen, right?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. The way the bracket ended up, like it's just ridiculous that the best eight teams all played each other to knock themselves out, and then the best of the rest are going to get a chance to win the Champions League.
I mean, if it's going to be anybody from the rest, the best of the rest, I would rather it be like Milan or Napoli or Inter. So I guess it kind of works out. I mean, think about it too. Like, you have a derby in the semis, another Milan derby in the Serbi. So it's not the worst matchup in the world. I know they don't deserve it. It should have been Napoli.
Milan,
I understand that.
Milan is in fifth in the league, and Inter is in sixth in the league, in the Serie A. These teams are fifth and sixth in the Serie A. Napoli is... And both of them are...
That's because Juve got their points back, though.
Okay, but besides that, both of Milan and Inter are 20 points behind the league leaders. Could you imagine a Champions League final team being 20 points behind in their own league? Like, it's wild.
Right. But then, isn't Barca winning La Liga? Like, how behind
Barca's winning La Liga, but it's not 20 points. They're 11 points ahead.
Okay, 11 points, that's pretty considerable.
Yeah, it's not 20 points, though.
It's not 20 points, I understand that, but, like, obviously, you could probably argue that...
And Madrid, we know, is Madrid. Right now. Madrid is Madrid. Yeah. We know that.
Yeah. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Like,
also.
Yeah, but they very well might win the league too. So
yes.
And the Prem is a different beast in itself.
Agreed. I don't think I'm as disappointed as you when it comes to like this setup, because it was kind of sort of expected that it could happen. The fact that it happened kind of may annoy some people, but I kind of like the Derby de Milano in the semis, because you would you rather have them in the semis or in the final? That could have been happened in the final as well. Imagine
if it would have been the final, that means they would have had to have beaten Man City and Madrid at some point, which I would have been fair play. But I just feel like in one game anything can happen, and it's kind of just disappointing that we see all the best teams kind of knock each other out, and then and all the worst teams play within each other. And then the final ends up being like one of each, which is just feels disappointing. It just feels like a lackluster. Like those years where we had like where it was like Bayern versus Dortmund in the final, where Dortmund was like one of those teams that nobody really saw making it there, but they went through big teams to make it there. Like Lewandowski had a god game against Madrid to make it there, scored like 5 goals. Or when like Ajax's team makes a run, they're beating big teams, right? So you're not like one of the worst teams in the tournament, one of the like lowest probability teams is making a run.
So you're
not beating all other bad teams. They're beating like some of the best teams to make it there, which is fair play. Like if Milan had beat like PSG or they had beat like a Madrid or something, and you know they're in the semifinals, I have no problem with that. But they're like they're beating all these other teams. Yeah, and that's the only other team that like I'm gonna be rooting for Milan to like AC Milan to make the final.
I do understand your point though of like I guess it's how you get there that matters.
Yeah, it's just a little bit disappointing given like how it's set up.
That's fair. In that case, like Chelsea and Madrid,
like Inter beat Porto 1-0, who Porto was one of the worst teams. Like the only other like I would have put Porto as the second worst team behind the Club Brugge, and then they play Benfica, who isn't like. You know,
I mean, they beat the two best Portuguese teams.
I know, but that's not saying much, to be honest, right?
Yeah.
Like,
I see your point. It's like the journey to get
now,
there.
And then they're playing AC Milan, who is outside of the top 5 in the league, to make the final. It would be Porto, yeah. Benfica, AC Milan. Their road to the final.
That means that either way, we're going to have a derby. Either way, we're going to have a derby, right?
Yeah. So
I mean, no, technically Sporting got bounced before. Never mind. Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, I kind of wanted to see Napoli. It is what it is. I mean, Milan was the best team over 2 games. Magminia might be in the top 3 in the world right now, just saying.
I don't know about that.
We don't have to go into it because we obviously wouldn't have the time. But, like, I'm just saying, he's in the conversation. Especially when it comes to PKs. Like, he has a very high percentage save. Percentage, sorry. So he's. I'm just saying, he might be up there.
PK is a different beast. Who do you think wins the Champions League?
So I think Milan goes to the final. I think City goes to the final. I think City wins it.
I would sacrifice my firstborn child to see Inter or Milan defeat City in the final. If City go,
you do not mean that. Take that back right now.
If City make 2 Champions League finals and end up losing them to Chelsea and AC Milan, who both like these were 2 teams that nobody saw making it even like to the semis or to the quarters, and they end up choking those, that's a legendary performance from Pep. But I mean, they're gonna be the heavy favorites, so we'll see how it goes.
Okay, yeah, honestly, like if Pep doesn't win it this year, like it's you gotta ask him a question. If
we he does the same thing versus Chelsea,
especially if he beats Madrid, because if he beats Madrid, he doesn't win it. And it's like, I don't know what excuse we can give him.
I'm rooting for a Madrid Milan final. That's what I'm rooting for. Madrid Milan
would be classic.
Exactly, it would be classic. I'd be happy either way.
Yeah.
I'd be happy either way.
But Madrid, I mean, you can never sleep on Madrid. I don't know why I always.
I mean, they're always there. They're always there.
Always there. Like, yeah, bro, I'm trying to. Should I change my mind? Should I pick Madrid over City?
I mean, I think City's going to win, but. I mean, Madrid is Madrid.
Yeah.
And count out Madrid.
I'm going to stick with City. I'm going to stick City, Milan. City wins it. Thank you. Finally, Pep gets the Champions League.
Yeah. What about the Europa League? I mean, United go out in horrible fashion, but I mean, you kind of can't expect too much when in the first leg we lose both of our center backs in the middle of the game. Rashford's not there. We have Maguire playing like he has no head. the two goals we conceded at the end of the first leg ended up being devastating, but I don't think it would have made a difference, to be honest.
But that was unlucky, though. Yeah, those were two unlucky.
Two own goals. It's honestly really unlucky. But the second leg, it was just kind of like felt like we were completely outmatched and we weren't really ready to play. Like,
right.
I mean, if you pick any team and you remove their two best center backs, like it's tough. It's tough because that's the command from the back. Like,
agreed.
They go the pace of the game. So and especially because having the chemistry between the center backs and having that like comfortability there between the two of them is huge for any team. So even just swapping out a player or two can be a big deal. And if you're taking off two, you're making two guys come in and make a pair with each other. It's tough.
And there's a big drop off in the level once you lose your best two center backs.
Yeah, I would have much rather Phil Jones play instead of Harry Maguire, but it is what it is.
Bro, I still forget that Phil Jones is on the team. Where is did he play a game this season?
Injured. No, I think he played last season. I think he played one or two games.
Okay. Must be with the under-21s then.
I'm not sure.
I've never seen him like play at all. Anyways, Sevilla again in the semis. I think at this point it's a Madrid type of story. They're always there.
Yeah, I mean, that's their tournament, right?
Yeah, that's their tournament. But honestly, I want to say Juve might, like, break the curse. I think Juve, in the form that they are right now, I know they just got their 15 points back, which is kind of crazy.
Mourinho knew
is everything, really. And then, I mean, they haven't lost a game in a while, from what I've seen in the league.
I think they'll definitely be the favorites. It'll be them versus Leverkusen, I think, is going to be the betting favorite. I kind of like both of the teams. I think like a Sevilla Roma final would be really fun to watch, but obviously they'd be both underdogs.
Yeah, Leverkusen too. That's a nice story. Xabi Alonso first trophy in his first season as a coach for
that'd be really Leverkusen. Good because they had a rough start, right?
They did not have a good start. Yeah, I mean he wasn't there at that point. That's when he shows up after, and then he completely like revamped the team. They're playing very well. I mean, Diaby
might be the next Zidane.
I heard Zidane actually like interested in Juve for next season.
Listen, you can only give Frank Lampard so many opportunities before you find anybody that's better, because anybody truly is better than Frank Lampard as a manager.
See, I don't know what he's doing. I don't know why you brought Frank Lampard into this. He didn't.
I think he's like ruining his legacy a little bit by being so bad at being a manager. He's always one of the best English midfielders of all time, one of the best midfielders of all time. But him as a manager is just, it ain't it, bro. It ain't it. He has no idea what he's doing.
Not everybody can be a great player and a great manager.
No, it ain't for everybody.
It ain't for everybody, yeah.
But Alonso looks like he knows what he's doing.
Alonso looks like he knows what he's doing, yeah. There's rumors of Madrid looking. I mean, there's even rumors, I think Chelsea might be looking at him too, so.
If I'm Chelsea, I would take Xabi Alonso.
I don't think he's. It's only his first season. I don't think you want to take that chance now. Especially if it doesn't work out for Chelsea.
One more year.
Chelsea cannot. If you're Chelsea, you can't afford to have another like missed.
No,
like,
exactly. So maybe it's a little bit too risky. Yeah. But I would. I like him.
I like him a lot. I've been watching a lot of Leverkusen. I like what they've done. Honestly, maybe they're even closer to like winning the Bundesliga themselves. But I do think that they might be the better team over Roma. obviously it's Mourinho we're talking about, so you never really know. I think on paper, Leverkusen is better. Yeah. I'm going to lean towards Leverkusen and Juventus in the final, and I'm going to give it to Leverkusen to win it all.
I think Juve is going to win it all, but I'll be rooting for Leverkusen.
Yeah, I love how we just completely denied Sevilla.
That's the thing, though. This is their tournament. This is their tournament. I think offline, I think right before we started recording, we were talking about it, and I think I said Sevilla, because it just kind of feels like it's Sevilla. It's always Sevilla. But they really are a different team than they usually are, especially in the league. Like, they're really not doing well. I feel like they're not the same, like, presence as they usually are. Yes, they beat United, but I feel like most teams would have beat United when Sevilla played them. So.
Agreed. That's what I was just going to say. Like, anybody, United, when they lost, their two center backs were very beatable at that point.
I mean, it's two center backs. Rashford was injured. Like, we weren't ready.
Yeah. So you're saying Juve finish?
Yeah, I think Juve takes it. I think it's the most likely, but I'm going to be rooting for Leverkusen.
Yeah. I think Leverkusen and Juve is the most likely final, like you've mentioned. But like you said, Roma, you can never sleep on Roma because of Mourinho. You can never sleep on Sevilla because of their history in the Europa League.
It's just a different team under Alonso. So I'm just excited. Do you think if Leverkusen win it, do you think Alonso gets he'll be given a different opportunity? I can see him being Madrid manager one day.
They're saying that too. Like they're saying that after if Ancelotti, I think Ancelotti has one more season. That like if like Alonso stays with Leverkusen for next season, then in 2025 he would be taking over Madrid after Ancelotti leaves. Wherever he goes, it's a possibility.
I just Ancelotti think that has done really well at Madrid, though. Like he hasn't had any reason to be replaced. It's just gonna be like what he decides to do.
Yeah, like if he's just tired of like being there, honestly, I think it's just it's his decision at this point. He's such a great manager. Like everybody wants to play for Ancelotti, so it's not like he's gonna miss any chance. I mean, I've heard even. I think I'm pretty sure Chelsea is on Ancelotti as well. If they can somehow get Ancelotti, I think it'd be a great it'd be a massive.
I'm really curious to see who goes to Chelsea.
Yeah, because like you said, like they can't miss. It has to be a hit.
What do you think it is? Do you think it's actually going to be Poch?
I think so. I think it's the most like realistically speaking, the most logical signing is him, Pochettino.
Do you think they get somebody before the end of the season or after the season ends?
After this season, Lampard has a couple more games. I mean, at this point, whatever happens. The season has been a fumble, so they're not like threatened by relegation, so they're gonna be good. It's just a matter of like, how do we? The project didn't start well. How do we like get it back on track? And the manager, the next manager, has to be the first most important step in that direction. Like I said, Pochettino seems to me like the better, the right option. I don't see who else is really like in consideration. I think Luis Enrique might not be a good fit because he doesn't know the Prem. And yeah, like I mean, honestly, if Ancelotti was there, like I would say Ancelotti by far. But Pochettino is the better choice for me right now.
We'll end on this. If Pochettino doesn't go to Chelsea, where do you think he goes?
If he doesn't go to Chelsea, he will go back to Spurs.
No, I know. I would bet my life that he doesn't go back to Spurs. That's just like, that's the one thing that's a no-go for me.
It's either Spurs.
It's not Spurs. I'm telling you it's not Spurs.
But I don't see where else. Where else is he going to go? But
that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm asking the question, right?
I mean, it's a good question. That's why I gave you a terrible answer. I almost see Spurs. I mean, assuming that he's not going back to PSG, Madrid's not going to go for him now. Barca doesn't need another manager. Bayern doesn't need a new manager.
Do you think? Do you think maybe? Yeah, that could be an option. But do you think, Simeone?
Ooh, yeah.
Simeone leaves. Atletico. I think Atletico could be. I don't think I've seen anybody.
You're right. You're right. That's the best. The second best option. I think that's actually the first best option. Atletico is the best option. Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't he play for Atletico? He played for Espanyol.
Yeah, Pochettino. Yeah.
He played for Espanyol. He didn't play for Atletico, but Atletico seems like a good move for him as well.
Yeah, it would be very different from what they have now, and I feel like if they change Simeone, it's because they want very different. So.
Yeah, exactly. Which is what they need.
Yep. All right, I think that's gonna wrap it up for this episode. Last words.
April 26th.
That's the game of the lifetime. That's the game of the season.
Here we go.
I know that if it doesn't go well, you're gonna be in hibernation for the rest of the year.
No more podcast.
April 26th. This is 3 days away.
I'm gonna take the day off, low key. I'm seriously considering. 3 days
away.
I'm gonna take the day off.
It's gonna be crazy. All right.
If I take the day off and they don't win, oh my god, I'm gonna be.
Are you gonna break a TV or you gonna break something?
I'm gonna be hot, boy.
Something will be broken.
No, I'm just gonna not talk. I'm gonna be very, very quiet. You will never hear from me again.
I'll check up on you, but we'll see. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Episode 88 in the books. If you made it this far, really appreciate it. Make sure you follow us on the socials. @ForwardPressPod or @Forward_Pressing. Give us a follow so you're notified every time the episodes go live. We really appreciate your time. And we'll see you later.